Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
On December 1st, 2020, China's export control law, the very first comprehensive export control legislation in China, came into effect. It will regulate the export of sensitive materials and technologies from China to overseas. This is Jay Run, a partner with Baker McKenzie Fengxing Joint Partner in Shanghai. Welcome to Baker McKenzie's TMT Talk podcast. I'm excited to be joined by three of our very experienced partners. Vivian Wu, a partner based in our Beijing office, focusing on regulatory compliance matters. Marcella Robes, a partner from our San Francisco office with a lot of experience in M&A and technology transaction areas. And Allison Stafford-Powell, a partner with our international commercial practice group in the Palo Alto office. Vivian, Marcella, and Allison, thanks for being here. So let's start with Vivian. Vivian, can you briefly tell us what are the key concepts and provisions of the export control law?
The China export control law sets up the general regime, which not only consolidates and unifies the existing laws and regulations, but also includes some so-called upgraded mechanism. It covers a broad range of items, including dual-use items, military products, nuclear materials, goods, technologies, and services. The key points are like China's national security, which can be broadly interpreted, and also all the covered items would be either related to the protection of national security and the interests and the fulfillment of international obligations to which China has made the commitment. The national security, as you may appreciate, can be broadly interpreted. The controlled items include not only the technical materials, data, but also services. These are the two key points that I want to highlight. The China Export Control Law also introduced the deemed export concept. It covers the provision of controlled items by Chinese citizens or companies to any foreign organization or individual, even within China. This is different from the existing regime. Certain technology is restricted or prohibited for export, which covers only the cross-border transactions. However, how the deemed export will be regulated in practice remains to be seen, and we expect some implementing rules will be issued. The China Export Control Law also makes it very clear that it will have extraterritorial effect, which means any violation of any regulatory requirement on export control by any foreign organization or individual will be handled and investigated for legal liability. However, to what extent it can be enforced remains to be seen.
Thanks, Vivian. Allison, I understand that you advised a lot of corporations on U.S. trade restrictions. And as you know, U.S. has tightened up the trade restrictions against China. So to what extent is this China export control law in response to the U.S. trade restrictions? And also, given the current tensions between China and U.S. and Chinese government's own drive towards technology self-sufficiency, what can we expect in terms of the specific types or areas of technology focus that are relevant to TMT area? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jay. So there's certainly been a lot of developments on the US side to retaliate against, but this China's export control law has been in the works for several years now. I think the first draft came out in around mid-2017. So I don't see this particular law as being a direct response to the current trade war with the US. As Vivian mentioned, you know, we have seen an active evolution of China's export control regime over the past few years. It used to be sort of spread across multiple different laws, regulations, etc., with different encryption rules, technology, import-export rules, etc. So this really just brings all that together into the first comprehensive regulatory program. And it shouldn't be a surprise, frankly, to anybody. China is really just catching up to other countries that already have similar comprehensive export control rules and is moving in a fairly measured, fairly cautious way, I would say. Also, a lot of the concepts and the principles that Vivian mentioned, such as, you know, the licensing mechanisms, the control list, re-export controls, something akin to deemed exports even, and obviously the enforcement powers. These are and should be very familiar to anybody that is already working with, whether it's US export controls or EU, Japanese, etc. rules. So now I think companies really just need to factor into China's, when they're exporting from China, need to factor in Chinese export controls too. We still need some of the nuts and bolts, but it is time to get ready. And you also asked about, you know, retaliation. You know, is this in retaliation? I think there's probably some other more recent developments on the China side that could be viewed as and could be used more in retaliation to US developments. For example, obviously the China's unreliable entity list that was announced by MOFCOM back in May 2019. We haven't seen any companies targeted under that yet, but that threat is there. And we do have a number of clients operating in China that are particularly concerned about that. And then more recently, China's blocking rule that came out in January of this year. So I think if anything, those two tools are more likely to be used in retaliation, if at all. So I think, you know, there are some important clues when we look first at China's most recent five-year plan that was announced in early March. This obviously reflects China's urgent need to reduce vulnerabilities in its external supply chains, caused in part by the pandemic, but also by the technology competition between the US and China. And China has said it's already going to accelerate its R&D spending, I think something like 7% year on year, begin funding national labs, et cetera, and move towards self-reliance in several key tech sectors relevant to TMT. Semiconductors is a fairly obvious one. I mean, there's obviously a shortage of chips at the moment and heavy competition to getting the tools to make advanced chips, particularly for 5G applications. Robotics, quantum computing, next generation AI, electric vehicles, etc. So, you know, given the strategic focus around those technology sectors, I would certainly expect to see some form of control around the outflows of those types of critical technologies. But I think China recognizes that it has to sort of balance that with the need to continue to encourage foreign investment, to encourage foreign R&D to be set up in China. So we'll have to see how it goes, but I think those are the sectors that I would expect to see control parameters around.
Indeed, Alison, I totally agree with you. I think the areas that you have mentioned are also listed in the catalog of the technologies restricted or prohibited for export that was issued last summer. So I totally agree with that. Turning to the transactional space, so Marcella, how can the China export control law potentially affect U.S. tech transactions? And also, accordingly, what can U.S. companies do to minimize the impact of the China export control law on such transactions?
Yeah, so it's interesting because Allison mentioned that China is catching up sort of with this regulatory trend that other companies were well advanced. And so I think similarly, the tech transactions and commercial contracts in general will, I believe, be a little bit more balanced, because right now it's always been one-sided provisions where one party has to comply with export control laws and has to be very careful about like all the export control laws in the US. And now it's going to be much more balanced in the sense that both parties will need to comply not only with the export control laws of the US, but also with the export control laws of China. And so that as a result will require the parties to do a lot more diligence as to what technologies are being licensed, what products are being offered. I mean, in particular, as Allison mentioned, if it's semiconductors, robotics, quantum computing, all of these technologies are going to be involved, and it will definitely put a greater burden on the parties of determining what laws apply and how the export control laws impact the transfer of this information. And as Vivian pointed out, it really covers a broad range. I mean, it's not only technical materials, it's also services and data related there too. So you can't really single out a specific component. It is wide ranging, and the parties will have to be very careful about what exactly are their requirements in the contract and just in the law generally.
Thanks, Marcella. So with that in mind, because the export control law will certainly have certain implications to U.S. corporations doing tech transactions or licensing deals or even tech-related services with Chinese counterparties. So what are the practical responses or actions that corporations should take into consideration? Let's start with Vivian. Vivian, what would you have in mind for those corporations to consider?
Sure. Thank you, Jay. In the past, a lot of the companies actually adopted a global trade compliance program, which is basically adapted from the US or EU template. But nowadays, because of the change of the context, that global trade compliance program may not work well for the China export control related risks. So in that end, a China specific compliance program for the trade compliance risks will be required. And also we need to take into consideration about dealing with conflicting requirements imposed by different jurisdictions. We need to deal it from both regulatory compliance perspective, but sometimes we also need to consider from operation level. So should we have segregated R&D center, the R&D team? That's something that we need to consider.
Thanks, Vivian. And Allison, so what would be the practical steps that those non-Chinese companies with operations in China should do to prepare, for instance, U.S. corporations having subsidiaries and also R&D operations within China, what they need to do to prepare for the implementation of the China export control law?
Right. So in addition to the points that Vivian made, I think it's time, you know, to start doing some of the prep work, even though we don't have the nuts and bolts yet. We don't have all the details or the implementing rules. But what companies can and should be doing is to map out or refresh their mapping of the flow, the outflows of their hardware, software, and technology. In particular, anything that's obviously developed or manufactured in China, where does that go? And sort of map the end-to-end supply chain. And who does it go to? So I think due diligence, KYC, knowing where your products and technologies end up is going to be key, so that once you know that big picture, you know how the controls will apply. And Vivian also mentioned the, you know, thinking about where you put your R&D. I would also add to that, thinking about where you put your software repositories. You know, we see this a lot in the US. Companies will put their software repositories in the US, even for non-US developed software. But, you know, by doing that, you're bringing that non-US software into the US and subjecting it to US export controls when it leaves or when it's downloaded. And I think now you need to ask that same question and think about that from a Chinese export control law perspective. And then I think the last thing I would mention is find out what your partners, suppliers in China are doing themselves, and you know, work together with them so that both they and you are ready for a smooth transition when these new rules come into place.
Very helpful, Alison. And Marcella, so in the, again, you know, in the transaction space, what representations or warranties or other contractual provisions would you advise to put in place to address the China export control law implications?
Yeah, so certainly just following the same line as Vivian and Alison have mentioned, you should try to put in place certain representations regarding the compliance. And so definitely ask representations that the Chinese counterparty has done the appropriate data mapping and knows where the data is flowing to and from. Appropriate representations around having a regulatory compliance program and asking the counterparty to provide copies of those compliance programs. You can also ask for specific covenants, asking that the Chinese counterparty report if it becomes non-compliant or if it is aware of any other requirements regarding compliance of the export control law, like recording the license or recording the specific agreement. And then separately consider the agreement as a whole, whether you need an indemnity from your counterparty, a specific indemnity, that, and then consider whether that indemnity is capped at a certain number or has a super cap, or you allocate specific damages to that, because I don't know the exact the sanction regime for this export control law, but potentially you could be subject to fines. And so you could try to recover those through an indemnity in the contract.
I agree. I think these are practical tips, very helpful. So that concludes our podcast. Thanks, Vivian, Alison, and Marcella, very much for your time, for your insight, and for your advice. Thank you. Thanks for listening.